Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
What do you call a headlock move you use on idiot tourists?
As if I'd give away my secrets to the enemy.
I am not enemy.
Well, that's right. Your enemy is the orchid. I assume that was about a girl.
Don't talk about it.
Why not? Chosen doesn't like girls.
I never said that.
She must have really broken your heart if you let a little flower take you down.
Nothing take me down.
I bet I could.
You would not last 1 second in fight with me. Eh?
Let's find out.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is Cobra Kai Cast.
This week, we're covering Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 7.
Episode
Snakes
8. Sorry,
on a plane.
I did that wrong. It's a 78. Snakes on a plane. Why is it called that?
Is it Episode 8 or Episode 7? It's
8.
8.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Snakes on a plane. Snakey snake.
I mean, there's only one snake on the plane. That rich douchebag guy.
Yeah, the jerk.
I thought they were going to refer to Cobra Kai guys, but I didn't see any of them on there.
I think they just used the name because it was cute. They're getting lazy, yeah. I feel like. They're running out of steam. Okay, I'm going to read the synopsis. It's a bit long, but here we go. After Miguel's departure, Johnny asks Amanda to contact Kenny and convince him to replace Miguel. However, Kenny explains to Amanda that he has no interest in being part of the team because he still thinks that Anthony was the one who used laxative on him. And there's a meme. What was the meme? Shit butt. Hashtag shit butt. Miguel and Johnny argue on the plane as he tells Johnny that he didn't support him in the tournament. Zara gets jealous of the attention that Tori receives from the other contestants and sleeps with Robbie after he gets drunk at a bar. And Tori witnesses a kiss between them the morning afterwards. Amanda has Anthony attempt to apologize to Kenny, but they fight instead. Johnny apologizes to Miguel and they make amends after Miguel hits an annoying passenger. Axel and Sam encounter each other on the beach. Axel's the main fighter for the Iron Dragons, the main guy. And he tries kissing her after an encounter with Yoon and Kwan, but leaves disappointed after she says she has a boyfriend. Yasmin dumps Dimitri after Hawk calls Moon and inadvertently shows Dimitri dancing with a Spanish girl at the bar. To get rid of her guilt, Devin calls Kenny and confesses that she was the one who spiked his drink with laxatives during the team tryouts. Kenny reconciles with Anthony and accepts the trip to Barcelona. Johnny and Miguel find out that Carmen's complications were resolved successfully, and she tells them to return to Barcelona and win. Chosen and Kim Dae-yoon have a sexual encounter. God, I hate the way this is written, but anyway. And along with Daniel and Kreese, find out that Terry Silver was working with Wolf and Dennis to abduct Daniel.
Sounds so romantic, huh? They had a sexual encounter.
A sexual encounter. Sounds like Dimitri wrote this.
So clinical, yeah.
That's funny. He ain't having no more sexual encounters.
That's right.
Poor Dimitri, probably not, man. With Yasmin. Poor Dimitri, I don't know.
His poor world, his world is crashing down, huh?
Yeah. Well, what did you guys think about this episode?
It was pretty good. I like the three stories that were going on concurrently, you know, the Kenny and Anthony story, the Chosen and Kim story, and the kids story. Daniel really wasn't in it that much, was he?
No. There was Johnny and Miguel, too, on the plane.
Johnny and Miguel. Oh, yeah. I kind of lumped that in with the Kenny story, the back home story, okay. The Chosen story, and the kids story. And then there was a lot. You're like, oh, this is cool. And then all of a sudden at the end, it was just like, boom, blow it up with silver.
Yeah, that was the best. What about you, Rima?
I loved it. I thought it was really great. But also just a really hard episode just to sit on, because watching it right after we recorded our last episode and knowing that we were going to have such a little bit more of an extended break before we recorded for it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to sit here and I can't watch the next one until we finally record on this one. So that was like the difficult part of this episode for me, but I thought it was really great. I thought there was, you know, we had our typical teenage drama, but I was really living for the twist at the end. Seeing Terry Silver, I was watching it while I was in bed, getting ready to go to bed, and I was kind of just leaning back, you know, watching. And then when he pops up, I just like leaned up and I was like, holy shit.
One of you texted the other two of us, holy shit. Was it you, Rich?
Yeah.
Rich first, yeah.
Yeah, because I watched it right after we were done podcasting. And I totally agree with you, too. Now we had a week, like 2 weeks. I'm like, ugh.
I got spoiled that he was going to be in it. I knew last week. I didn't say anything. But I only knew that he was going to be in it. I didn't know how until Rich texted, holy shit. And I'm like, oh, there, I guess Terry Silver showed up. But that was kind of a bummer to be spoiled on it.
It's
a bummer.
Yeah. It's not safe. It's not safe out there at all.
I'm trying not to look at anything. Yeah. Because I saw there was a trailer out for part three, but I'm not going near that.
Oh man.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I have to be careful.
You can't even read the comments in a lot of places because they'll spoil it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you, I didn't like it as much as you guys. I thought it was fine. I liked some of the storylines better than others, but it feels like a few of the storylines, it just felt like the writers are running out of steam a little bit and just trying to, I don't know, give the character something to do until the end, it felt like. But maybe I'll think differently by the time you guys talk about it, hopefully.
I did miss some fight. I missed some of the tournament fighting. I hope that comes back quickly.
Oh, I'm sure it will. What do you think my favorite storyline was? Any guesses?
I would say Miguel and Johnny going back home.
What do you think, Rima?
Anthony and Kenny.
I cared about that one, but my favorite was Kim Dae-yoon and Chosen for some reason when they just erupted into a passionate kiss. I was that's like, oh my God, that's so funny. I loved it.
Yeah, they got it on warrior style, huh?
Because I always get into the writer's mindset. Like, I can't help it. I imagine myself in the writer's room and I imagine them going, you know, Kim Dae-yoon and Chosen haven't had a lot to do. What can we do with them? And then it ended up them getting together. And I just thought it was really funny. And I thought they had good chemistry together, too.
I thought it made sense, actually.
Yeah. And now that that happened, I think maybe the guy in the robe at Kumiko's is actually her boyfriend and she's off the market.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's a good way to get Chosen back on track and forget about her. And then, you know, all this time, too, both of them have been saying, let's concentrate on leaving it on the mat. They don't like all this bullshit that's happening outside the mat.
They're on the same page.
Yeah.
They're kind of on the same page.
They're
kind of
humanizing Kim Dae-yoon, too, which is another reason why I think they might actually end up together for the long term.
Yeah, she really changed from having her hair back to having her hair down. I was like, wow, hey, she looks pretty good with her hair down.
Yeah, she almost looked like a different person. It really loosened her up.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, let's get into our points. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Rima.
Oh, all righty. Well, let's just talk about Anthony and Kenny. I'll say Amanda is a real MVP, not just of this like episode, but like the series. She's definitely one of my favorite characters. How she can, she just really solves so many relationship problems from so many characters in this episode. Mm-hmm. And she really gives it a go here with Anthony and Kenny. And I think it really gives, you know, Amanda something to do while she's at home. Daniel is in Barcelona, and so is Sam. So it kind of gives Amanda something to do while she's at home. So getting, you know, on a, you know, going on this mission to get Kenny, you know, since at least there in the beginning, you know, Miguel is, you know, not going to be able to participate because of what's going on with Carmen and the baby and Johnny not being there. They're going to have to forfeit if they don't get someone. So she's on this mission to get Kenny to come back. And I loved that whole dynamic of getting them two together, because even though it wasn't Anthony that, you know, pulled that prank, and well, I guess you can call it, it's prank seems a very light way to put that. It was awful.
Utter humiliation.
Yeah. That's definitely a light way of phrasing that. But, you know, even though he wasn't the one responsible for that, they've still had a lot of conflict between them. And Anthony's done a lot of mean things to Kenny. So, of course, it makes sense that Kenny would blame him for that. So I like how they finally, you know, with Amanda's help, you know, talking it out and realizing that, you know, all of it is just kind of BS and that there are bigger issues at stake. I think it's really going to give us some interesting conflict moving forward, because now when we ended, Miguel sounds like he's headed back to Spain to compete. And now we've got Kenny there. We've got an extra person. So I think it's going to give some extra conflict there. What's going to happen with Kenny when he gets there? Miguel's going to be back. We've got Devin now, who's confessed to Kenny that I'm the one that did this. And I'm glad, because I think it's like it's finally time for Kenny to realize the truth. So I'm glad we finally got there. And it always felt wrong to me that he didn't get in the tournament in the first place. He was really a great fighter, and I think he's an interesting character. So I was really happy that Devin finally called and confessed to all of that. So I'm looking forward to like the conflict moving forward. I think Kenny as a character is really interesting. And I just liked the whole, you know, actions have consequences. It was definitely a theme of the episode, actions having the consequences. So I really liked that. I think it showed some growth between Anthony and Kenny, both of kind of seeing, you know, being able to kind of be like, you know, enough's enough. And they're not besties, you know, they're not besties or anything, but they've kind of got like this truce. And so I liked that.
Yeah, it was pretty empathetic of Anthony to offer to shit his pants for Kenny, even though he didn't actually dose him, but also kind of like, I don't know if I would do that. I mean, I would kind of stand by my, I was like, no, man, I didn't do it, you know?
Yeah. I was pissed at Amanda. I was like, you're not listening to your son. He's telling you I didn't do this. Well, I don't care. The only way we're going to get Kenny to the tournament is if you apologize. I'd be like, fuck you, mom. I didn't fucking do it.
I know everybody keeps harping on him about doing it.
Yeah, I was so pissed.
Amanda reminds me a lot of a middle school counselor. It's kind of what she has to do here, huh?
But she's not listening to Anthony, and that really, really bothered me.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean, if a good counselor will listen. But I loved when Anthony went to the door. I'm here to say sorry, I guess, for you shitting your pants, which I had nothing to do with. I mean, yeah, truth. And then I love Amanda's in the car, like, looking at her phone, and she looks over and they're karate fighting, and she goes, fucking karate.
Really just sums up like the whole series
for
like,
her.
For her, it's like just caused more conflict than anything.
But what helped me accept, because I at first I was like, wow, it, really, Anthony, I feel like they kind of broke him, and he totally debased himself when he didn't do it. But when he said, listen, man, I swear on my life I did not dose you, which I'm glad he started off with that. But I've been enough of an asshole that I'd see why you'd think it was me. And since I started this war, it's on me to end it, which is why I'm going to shit my pants. So I thought that was pretty admirable. And it's true, as you guys have pointed out, Anthony's the one who started it by bullying Kenny in the first place. But I still don't like it too much because... Kenny has come back so much harder. He's really been cruel and cruelly beaten Anthony. And even when Anthony did try to apologize, he tried to make it right in the locker room, and Kenny still beat the shit out of him. So, totally. I feel like Kenny owes Anthony more of an apology here. Honestly, I think Anthony's the much bigger man in this situation. That's what I think.
But yet Kenny gets to go to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Who's he going to replace?
Well, I feel like Devin should be disqualified if she admitted that she cheated.
That's why
she should take her place.
I think that's what's fair. I mean, I haven't watched ahead or anything, but I feel like if Kenny ends up in Spain, she should bow out on her own and say, I don't deserve to be here. This was wrong. She seemed relieved after she finally confessed. After the phone call, I hope she does it on her own. Otherwise, she should be forced out. Honestly,
she should also have to shit her pants.
She should be the one to dose herself
on the tournament floor.
This is where I hope Johnny gets back and does the Johnny thing, because I think it should be Dimitri that gets replaced.
Mm.
And I'd like him to be like, all right, we all know that she fucked up and she needs to be replaced by Kenny, but it really is Dimitri's our weakest link. Let's all have a vote, you know?
Maybe, yeah, maybe that'll happen.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Maybe.
Could make sense. Or have Devin and Dimitri fight it out or something.
Yeah.
But she's not been doing well either. She's been losing everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, she's definitely been struggling.
Yeah.
Oof.
All right, Richard.
So in the hotel room in the morning, I might need a little help getting this straight. Daniel thinks Kim Dayun was the one who told Kreese he was searching for answers about Miyagi, right?
Yeah. And that's what spurred Kreese to make a fake story to lure Daniel away and kidnap him.
Yeah.
That's
what he thinks. But then we cut to Kreese, and he says to his team there, Wolf and Dennis, we got Daniel rattled. No, he was talking to Kim Dayun. He says, we got Daniel rattled. Keep picking on them, because battles aren't reserved for the battlefield, right? And Kim's like, whoa, this is stupid, whatever. And then both Chosen and Kim say that this is nonsense and they should save it for the tournament. Mm-hmm. So that's cool that they're on the same page. But so my question is, Kreese is just being Kreese. He's being kind of a dick, right? But he didn't really do anything.
No, I think Kreese knows all about this, because when they see Dennis, the Cobra Kai guy with the long hair and the tattoo, when Chosen and Kim Dae-yoon see him, do you know him? No. And he goes, but maybe Kreese does. So I guess we don't know for sure, but I think Kreese knows about it. And when Kreese was, as you were just saying, telling Kim Dae-yoon and Kwon, I think we have him rattled now. That made me think Kim Dae-yoon already knew about the kidnapping, but I don't think she knew. I don't think she knew what he was talking about, because later when she's talking to Chosen, she doesn't seem to know anything about it, you know?
Right. She was just trying to get her team back to the hotel like Chosen was.
Yeah. To focus.
They're still on that side of the coin. You know, we got to concentrate, and everybody else is doing all this stupid, crazy stuff off the mat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I don't know. Yeah. I wasn't sure about all that. As Kreese, it could be one of those things in the next episode. I do not know what's going to happen, but maybe Kreese is going to do that classic. He's standing with Daniel and the others, then all of a sudden he slowly moves over next to Terry. You know,
I thought he was in on the whole thing. Didn't you, Rima?
No, and I'm going by facial expressions alone. Hmm. I don't know anything. Obviously, I haven't watched ahead. But when Daniel is confronting the Iron Dragon Sensei, I cannot think of his name.
Wolf.
And Okay, thank you. And the dude, Dennis, the dude that had kidnapped him or that he fought when he escaped. And then he, you know, there's the whole group of them as soon as Terry Silver speaks up and they all, you know, kind of slowly turn towards the hot tub. Kreese looked as surprised as everyone else, like, you know, as like Daniel. And then I don't think Kim Dane knew either. I don't think she knew anything about it. She seemed.
No, she didn't. As,
I don't think she knew either, but I don't think Kreese was in on it. He looked, the look on his face, he was just kind of like, oh, hell, what are you doing here? Or how do you, you know, how did you get here? Just on facial expression alone, though. So I don't know any.
I mean, one thing that makes me think you're right that didn't even occur to me until now is Kreese hates Terry Silver.
Yeah.
Right? He framed him and got him put in jail. So
he got screwed by him.
Yeah. So maybe they're not working together. And it's clear that Terry Silver did. He is the one that got Daniel kidnapped. Because
But then I'm also thinking that's a pretty big thing to put together. So maybe Kreese is in on it. You know, it was an unresolved thing for me because I kind of felt how Rima did, you know, just going on the facial expressions alone. But then I'm also suspecting, hey, he probably had something to do with it, but.
Hopefully it becomes clear quickly in the next.
Yeah.
Episode.
I'm glad that it was ambiguous because I thought I was missing something there. So.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't shock me because Kreese is a piece of shit, but you know, I really don't know that he knew or had any involvement. I think he was just picking up on the fact that Daniel was so rattled and just taking advantage of the opportunity of something's got Daniel unsettled. They made it seem, they kept implying that Kreese had something to do with it, the way, because I mean, I think I was saying that on our whichever episode, whether it was the last one or the one before, you know, when Daniel was kidnapped, that Kreese kept popping up in these moments that seemed very like, and it was like, oh, well, yeah, of course he's the one behind it because duh, it's Kreese. But I think that was just like a red herring. I think he was just taking advantage of the opportunities to keep getting under his skin. Like he was telling Quan, you know, like we're getting under their skin. We're rattling them. We're getting their senseis unsettled. We're getting to the kids. And, you know, I think he just saw opportunity and took advantage of it without really knowing what was going on.
Maybe,
that's my theory.
Kreese is a dick, always talking cryptic shit. He's so vague and non-determinate. Sometimes he looks like a total badass, other times he looks like an idiot.
He's like he's in a play or something, in a Shakespearean play or something.
What if you just go around saying that kind of stuff all the time, huh? We got him rattled now. Got under their skin.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Well, that kind of goes with my first point, playing dirty, where he says, yeah, look, looks like we got LaRusso rattled. Good. Now the real fun begins, which in Karate Kid 3 at the tournament at the end, when Mike Barnes is doing his strategy of hitting Daniel like in the face to take away a point and then doing a point that counts just to keep torturing him.
Yeah.
And Daniel's like really getting hurt and shaken up. And at one point he like stumbles over near Silver, and Silver goes up to him and says, "Now the real pain begins, Danny boy." So I think that was like a deliberate echo of Silver, just to kind of hint that he's coming up, you know, little yeah. tip off. And then Kreese says, "Dial up the pressure. Enemy soldiers should never rest, even when they're off duty." So that's just whether Kreese was involved in kidnapping Daniel or not. This is a Cobra Kai tactic of playing outside the lines of, you know, just intimidation, psychological stuff, fighting people outside the tournament, cheating in the tournaments, you know, doing illegal hits, just anything they can to win. And it's interesting to see Kim Dae-yoon does not approve of these sort of out of bounds tactics. She wants her team focused and not, as she says, risking the shame of disqualification. Kreese says, "Well, your grandfather's the one that taught me the battles aren't reserved for the battlefield," which is interesting. It's a hint that she's less of a scumbag maybe than the other Cobra Kai teachers. And then Chosen tells Daniel, "Kreese expects retaliation, but we should focus on the competition and take revenge on the mat," which reminded me a lot of Karate Kid. You know, Dutch is giving Daniel shit in the locker room, just intimidating him, saying, "Oh, where's your mommy?" and stuff. And the ref says, "Save it for the ring." And yeah. then that made me think the whole story of Karate Kid is really, that's what it's about. Johnny and his friends are bullying Daniel, so Miyagi arranges for him to enter this tournament so they'll leave him alone, so he'll be safe, and then they can fight where there's rules and it's safer. Yeah. But Cobra Kai doesn't play by the rules. They cheat and taunt, intimidate, and all that kind of stuff. Maybe kidnap your coach, you know, whatever. They play dirty. So that's kind of fitting in with the theme going back to the original movie.
Yeah, they kept that part good.
Good point.
Now we're on the world stage.
Yeah, and they're ramping it up. And it does kind of make sense that Silver would be the one to arrange all that of Daniel being kidnapped, because he's a man of bigger vision and greater resources, you know?
Yeah. Was he, I remember from the movie, he was in like this big mansion and it looked European. Is he from Spain or was that from the States?
I think it was just meant, he had this weird anachronistic old world rich guy where everything was all fancy with his hot tub and his cigar and his butler and everything. I just think it was kind of a silly representation cliche. Of a rich person. I don't know.
I love that his introduction at the end of this episode was the same as his introduction in the movie, sitting in a hot tub with a cigar.
Yes,
that's great.
It was great.
And they played the same. Like anybody who's listening to us and didn't hear our podcast on Karate Kid 3, I recommend going back and listening, because Karate Kid 3 actually has more to do with this series than, well, the same amount at least, if not more than the other movies. And anyway, we had fun recording that, but we talked about like the music. They play this, like Bill Conti, he was the composer for all three Karate Kid movies, original ones, and he played this like pan flute music for Daniel a lot. But when Terry Silver came in, it was this like more sweeping classical like with violins and stuff, like it's dramatic, and they played something like that here with him and then in the hot tub like he was in Karate Kid 3 with the cigar. And it makes me hopeful that just seeing him in the hot tub, that maybe we'll get a few moments of the Terry Silver that I wanted the whole time. And just thinking about that, I pulled a clip that we played just to remind people who don't remember what he was like in the Karate Kid 3 movie.
So here we go.
Hey, anything else you want?
Yeah. Make his knuckles bleed.
Hey, I like that! Oh, I like that, Johnny! I'm gonna use that!
That's it. I want to get some of that, Terry Silver. Yeah. Come on.
I mean, it kind of sounded like we were well on our way. You know, that introduction, reintroduction maybe to Terry Silver there at the end, and the Panty Boy. Oh man, yeah, that just, right. I was like, oh, this is gonna be good.
And I went back and looked to this guy Dennis. There were two guys. So when he's in the hot tub in Karate Kid 3, and he's got Mike Barnes making a deal to get Daniel, and he brings in his two goons, and they're Snake and Dennis.
Yeah.
Which always killed me. It's like, hey, here's Crusher and Phil or something like that.
It's not have like a cool nickname at all.
And
Optimus and Bob.
Yeah, exactly. And Snake was played by the director's son, Jonathan Avildsen. Same name as the director. And Dennis was played by William Christopher Ford in both Karate Kid 3 and Cobra Kai. It's the same guy. So anyway, the fact that this guy was there, if we'd been on it enough to notice, that would have been a big tip off that Terry Silver was involved, you know?
Yeah. Man, now I'm starting to feel dumb. There's a lot of little hints, huh?
Yeah, well, they did it well, so... We didn't.
Everything
know.
Happened so fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were really good at blending all of the canon together, all three movies, everything.
Yeah.
And thinking about, just since we're, I had a point on Silver, but let's just finish talking about him. So he was arrested at the end of last season.
Right.
I had to go back and look at why. Well, the reason why Kreese was arrested is because he was framed for beating the shit out of Stingray, which... Mm-hmm. Terry Silver actually
did.
Yeah. And Stingray retracted his statement and told the truth at the end. And the detective who was carting Terry Silver away said, given Raymond Porter's revised statement, Mr. Silver is facing a litany of charges. That man's lawyers are going to be pretty busy. So I think probably he has way better lawyers than Kreese. So maybe they got him out, or maybe he escaped, or maybe, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, that might go a long way at explaining how Kreese got out, too. I mean, if he was framed in the first place.
I mean, apparently they're giving grace to veterans with PTSD. And just
that's what he said, yeah. And he said, you know, he didn't actually commit the crime.
I wouldn't believe anything he says, though.
That's true. And the last thing I said, well, I have two things more about him. One, are we glad he's back? It sounds like we are. You guys are.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. He's a great character. He's so fun and over the top. Yeah. I love it.
And he has the potential to really screw things up. So now it's going to get even more interesting.
I thought he had a pretty good ending last season. And if this wasn't the final Cobra Kai season, I probably would think, they're bringing it back already. But since it's the final season, I'm like, okay, good. I'm glad he's back. And I hope he goes all more out with his personality. So I'm glad. And then the last thing is I predict he'll end up fighting Johnny, because I don't think he's fought Johnny yet.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. I keep thinking of the tournament, but the adults got to fight too, huh? They've been fighting.
Yeah, they better.
They better. We better see some more violence here.
Yeah. We need to up the violence. I'm ready for some more unhinged Terry Silver. I hope that he is just like, screw all y'all. I'm going back to my old self. And he's just completely unhinged. Now, I don't want
to get him a bag of Coke.
Yeah. I don't want it to completely take over, but I do am looking for a good couple of episodes of, you know, some real fuckery.
Yeah, he might just be in these next three, huh? Who knows? We don't know what's planned for the rest of the series.
Yeah. Have we also assumed that he's the one in charge of the dragons, the Iron Dragons? Since Wolf is kind of right there.
Maybe he is, yeah. Maybe he's in charge. That's a good point. I bet you
he's the one that brought the team together, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my first assumption.
Yes, I think you're right. I didn't thought
about interesting.
That,
yeah. That's the only thing that kind of bums me out about like Wolf's involvement in that, because I think he was, you know, before we had Terry Silver in this episode, I thought he was kind of being built up to be like a pretty good villain on his own, you know? So that's the only thing that I didn't like, him being involved with Terry, or having something to do anyway with this, with Terry being back in, is, you know, I thought he was already a pretty good villain, but now I feel like it kind of diminishes him just a little, because, you know, Terry Silver has been the one behind all of it.
Pulling the strings. I think that was sort of a red herring, trying to make it seem like he was his own thing and he's actually just his Terry Silver's employee, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that whole backstory, but.
Yeah. Let's just end it right now so we can go watch it.
I know. I'm just dying to find out.
We got to find out now. Yeah.
All right. I don't know whose turn it is, but I think Rima, maybe.
Well, I mean, let's touch a little bit on Chosen and Kim, because that was really fun. I loved it, too. It did not surprise me. I kind of called it during their first scene together. I was like, they have, or in this episode, sorry, not first scene ever, but in this episode. I wasn't that good, but their first encounter in this episode, I was like there's some really good sexual tension happening here. I didn't know if they would actually carry it through, but I thought they've got something here, and it would be really interesting to see, you know, these two from far sides, you know, kind of the enemies, you know, becoming, you know, a lover situation. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen it in lots of other stories. So it fits.
Romeo and Juliet thing.
Yeah, totally. So it was really satisfying to see Chosen kind of come out of his funk, you know, after, you know, the whole ordeal that happened with Tal guy, you know, kind of taking away his mojo. And
Tal guy. That's his character from now on, huh?
Yeah. It's be funny to go see, like, if that's how he's credited, like Tal guy. I liked that. I liked him kind of getting back to himself, you know, because I really didn't enjoy Drunk Chosen at all. So I liked him, you know, kind of getting back on track and trying to get, you know, like control of the kids, like after he kind of cut them loose under his drunkenness.
Yeah. When he tells Daniel, oh yeah, it'll be fine. And then he turns around and he's all worried look on his face.
Yeah, like, gotta go clean up my mess.
He should have just texted one of the kids, so where are you guys, instead of like just going to random bars or whatever.
That's true. Taking a big risk just running out in Barcelona trying to chase down the teenagers. They could be anywhere.
Nobody does anything normal in this show.
Nah.
Yeah, that's true. They have to kind of go the hard way with everything. And I really liked seeing Kim Dae-un in this new mode. She has always been very serious. It didn't seem super complex, but I liked she got a little bit of comedy in this episode when they're sitting outside of that little cafe and her hair's down. And like you said, Rich, she's stunning anyway, hair up or hair down. She are just the gosh, her bone structure. I would kill for that. She is absolutely stunning. But her pulled up ponytail with the braid, it's a very severe look, you know. And then with
to
her
fit
hair
her personality.
Down. Absolutely fits her personality, you know, for her character. So it does fit, and she's stunning either way. But to see her kind of in this more relaxed mode with her hair down, wow, just absolutely stunning. And to see her when she's like, you know, flicking the sand out of her hair and off her jacket and stuff, I thought was a really great like comedic moment. And so it was great to see her have like a little bit of a different side. I think she probably enjoyed. Yeah, I think she probably enjoyed getting to play, you know, kind of stretch her acting muscles a little bit, doing something a little different. So I think it's kind of refreshing to see her because, again, I don't think I've really seen her as complex like Kreese or Silver is. So I like seeing her because it feels like there's starting this little separation between her and Kreese a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really she does not approve of his tactics and what he's doing off the mat. You know, she thinks it should be on the mat. There should be focus. So I'm interested in this little separation between them, see where that goes. So I really liked that. I like getting exposure to these two characters, giving them something to do and seeing another side to her character. Thought it was really fun. Good and good comedy too, because seeing Chosen hopping on that scooter.
Yeah.
Outside so, like, that bar.
Huff away, kind of.
That was hilarious. I mean, that was like my favorite part.
So funny. Yeah, I mean, she's like a little separation with Kreese, which really does mean also separation with her grandfather, because Kreese is right. It all comes from him. And so it makes me, I feel like the show kind of telegraphs itself sometimes, and maybe she'll have a separation with Cobra Kai, you know, and go off with Chosen. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Wow. What if she flip-flops over to Miyagi-Do?
Everyone else has.
Right? I mean, nothing.
Do you think she's redeemable, though? Because she's not been a super great character herself, some of the things that she's done.
I think they're all redeemable, honestly.
Yeah. It doesn't matter in this show. Nothing's off the table, man. They'll do anything.
Yeah. I think this show could redeem any of these characters if it really wanted to, because it's not like The Walking Dead where they've, like, killed their grandma or something.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
About karate.
Yeah. If you can redeem freaking Johnny Lawrence.
That's right. But it took, you know, six seasons to do that. No, just kidding.
Nah, pretty quick. This is my favorite. My favorite was when Chosen says, "What do you call a headlock movie used on idiot tourists? As if I give away my secrets to the enemy. I am not enemy." Oh, that's right. Your enemy is the orchid. And then, oh, was that about a girl? Tell me. Oh, and then they start fighting. And that was just such a great scene. They're fighting and they end up in a passionate kiss. And the crowd's all, yeah, woo.
Yep.
And then I guess they had sex on the beach twice. And then they agree, oh, no one can know about this, which I think that's a little bit contrived for the drama. Because you'd think they might just be like, oh, interesting. Maybe we should date, you know?
Yeah. In real life, it wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about it, though. One thing that stood out to me a little bit is the Chosen actor, Yuji Okumoto, is 65. And Kim Dae-eun actor, Alicia Hannah Kim, is 37. So she's 28 years younger.
Mm. Boy.
It's quite a bit.
Didn't even think of that.
Ralph Macchio is 63, and Courtney Hengeler, who plays Amanda, is 45, so she's 18 years younger. William Zabka is 59, and Vanessa Rubio, who plays Carmen, is 40, so 19 years younger. So they're taking these old guys and pairing them up with these younger hotties.
Yeah.
It's the way of Hollywood, I guess, huh?
I guess. I don't really, and they do a pretty good job, I guess, because I don't really think of that when I'm watching it.
Yeah, and I know that's the age of the actors, right? But I can't remember like how old they're supposed to be in the show.
I don't know if they've really talked about their ages much, right? You know?
Yeah,
I know that the actor who plays
the math.
Terry Silver is younger than Daniel, but played someone who's supposed to be older, right?
Yeah,
and also Daniel, he's younger. So Ralph Macchio is 63. That's actually a good point. But Daniel's younger than Ralph Macchio, because Ralph Macchio was like 30 or something when Karate Kid came out. He was like 16 and that. So he's like 16 years younger than that. So he's almost the same age as Amanda, actually. That's a good point.
Babyface Macchio.
Yeah.
It's so true.
All right, Richard, you got a point? Another one?
So what about Sam? Sam had a little bit in there, kind of like, Here's my perspective, right, on Sam. She's talking to Axel, right?
Yeah.
And they're on the beach walking, trying, you know, getting to know each other a little bit. Some walls are maybe breaking down a little bit, barriers breaking through. And she questions him about his sensei Wolf, and he says, "Well, it's because of him I never lose." And Sam's like, "Well, there's other ways of teaching." I'm like, is that just Sam being Sam with her kind of stupid comments, or is she trying to get into his head? Because it's like, well, you know, I mean, it's because of him I never lose, is what Axel just said. It's like, he's never lost. And she's like, well, there's other ways of teaching. Maybe you should try that so you'll lose. I don't know. Axel makes a move on Sam only to be rejected, which he doesn't take well, it seems. So did Sam just make an enemy of the most powerful competitor, or did she just get herself an advantage on the map by getting into his head? I think maybe there's...
I think you're giving her too much credit. I don't, maybe not, but
yeah,
I think it's just that she was horrified when she saw his sensei beating him, and she doesn't approve of it, even if it means winning, that her heart is in the right place. She's just being straightforward. And I think I was sort of wondering, why then did they have this whole thing where he misinterprets her and he thinks she's cute and makes a move and she says no? Why have that though? So I don't know. Maybe she'll end up breaking up with Miguel and going with him. I don't know.
It's kind of weird.
I think it is supposed to be a little about, you know, seeing what's out there outside of her and Miguel's relationship. You know, she seemed, you know, like when her and Robbie are talking and, you know, he's like asking her how she's doing, or, you know, like when Miguel was leaving. And of course, I mean, obviously Miguel had to leave, right? I mean, nobody faults them for leaving, but, you know, she just seems to, I don't know if maybe she's in like this questioning phase of their relationship and she's seeing something that's, I don't think she's exploring it on purpose. I just think it gives her an opportunity to, when she's being empathetic towards Axel, because yes, she feels bad about what she had witnessed and obviously he's being abused by his sensei, but I think it, you know, in other ways, it kind of gives her this, you know, are me and Miguel really like what I think we are? I think it gives her an opportunity to explore something a little different.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like not she's trying to go explore, but because of the situation, it will open her eyes to other possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So Sam, just being Sam, I suspected as much, but I think it might have been a happy accident in what she did there.
Yeah.
I think it may have right. dividends to pay off there on the mat.
Oh yeah, totally.
In some way or fashion, you know.
Well, there's been a history of like all these boys just like falling in love with Sam. They just kind of fall over themselves. It's happened multiple seasons, multiple.
I get the feeling Sam's Robbie's never truly been happy or satisfied though either.
I know.
This whole entire series.
I know, she always seems upset. I was surprised when she said she's only been out of California a couple times to go to Disney World. I'm like, your family's like upper middle class.
Yeah.
It seems like they would have had a couple of trips here and there.
Not big travelers.
I guess not. All right. Let me see which one. There's all this drama, teen drama.
A lot of teen drama. I guess we should talk about some of it, huh?
Well, let's talk about Dimitri and Hawk. So there's this girl at the club looking over Hawk and Dimitri, and Dimitri's like, here comes the girl. Remember, we have girlfriends. And then she's like to Hawk, I like your hair. It's so cute. Thank you. I have a girlfriend. Then she says to Dimitri, well, how about you? Do you want to dance? I thought you'd never ask. I laughed at that. But what the hell? Like, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with dancing with a girl if you have a girlfriend, maybe as a teenager. It depends on what kind of relationship you're in, what kind of people you are. But where I feel like Dimitri is sketchy is he told Hawk, we have girlfriends, and then he went ahead and did it. So you could tell that he felt like he was probably doing something wrong. And then when Yasmin called after, you know, he didn't know, but she'd seen him on the FaceTime or whatever, he tells this girl that he's dancing with, I'll be right back, mi amor, which means my love. Super sketch, right?
Yeah, so,
and then
sketch.
When Hawk says, if you don't like facing consequences, maybe don't do shitty things. I'm like, yeah, that seems like you nailed it there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. Dimitri's kind of been on that path this whole entire trip, too. He keeps saying what he thinks is right, but then what's not right, he doesn't agree with.
Wait, say that again?
Does that make sense? I don't think that made any sense. He's like being two-faced about everything, you know? What he wants is okay. What he doesn't want is not okay. Everybody else is like, no, but you can't have that.
He's just being annoying.
He's being
I'm going to MIT.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least we didn't have to hear that come out of his mouth this episode. But, you know, I think it depends on your relationship. I think, Jason, you have a good point. If you know, like, your partner, whomever you're with, would not be okay with you dancing with someone else, then you probably shouldn't do it. And I think he probably knew that and he did it anyway. There's nothing wrong, I don't think, with doing that, as long as, you know, y'all are on the same page about it.
Right.
But if you know you know, your partner's not there to say, yep, go ahead, go dance with someone, yeah, go have fun.
And he knew.
And you know, yeah, he knew.
Because
so
he was upset that Hawk showed a video of it. Why would you be upset?
Yeah, totally.
If, yeah. So.
Oh, no. So now they got even more tension between the two of them.
I guess that was the point, right? Just to up the tension between, because they're still at a point where they can hang out together, but maybe not now.
I think Dimitri is definitely the weakest link here.
In many ways.
And man, he lost that girlfriend. Damn. What a dumbass.
Yeah, what a dummy. He was pretty lucky to get Yasmin.
Yeah.
With.
Very lucky. But he didn't deserve her. And teenage relationships never last that long anyway. Hardly ever. Shouldn't say.
Yeah, no. Plus he was probably going to dump her anyways when he went to MIT, right? Or vice versa.
Do you have any more, Rima?
Mostly just notes at this point, just small notes.
What about you, Rich?
Well, what about Robbie?
Yeah, Robbie and Tori.
Robbie, man. Poor guy. So my heart actually went out to him a little bit, sort of, sulking horrendously in the bar. And then Quan, man, Quan landed on thick, falling for all of Quan's taunting and believing he's, Quan made it sound like he was sleeping with Tori or hooking up with Tori or something like that. So then Robbie was drinking at the bar. I'm surprised he held it together right there at
the bar.
Did
we know Robbie doesn't drink before? I don't remember that being part of the story.
I don't think we'd ever seen him drink.
But Samantha says, you don't drink. And I wonder if that was a new thing about him.
Hmm. Well, either way, it didn't really work out for him too well.
Well, depending on your point of view.
Yeah, right. I mean, in the big picture, probably not. Yeah.
But... yeah, no, you're right. Big picture.
No, I don't like any of that. I didn't like that. I don't know. I mean, they're certainly implying
that they slept together.
That something happened, but I don't think that's okay. I mean, Robbie, if he's blackout, and she took advantage of that, that's not cool.
Yeah. And if he's not, then he fucked up. And I don't care if you're drunk, you shouldn't be doing that. And I find it hard to believe that Robbie believed that Quan was hooking up with Tori. I think that's stupid. You know, for one thing, when Quan got all up on Tori, she just flinched and like, get away from me. And Robbie was looking right at them. So he should have seen that. Like, it kind of reminded me of the scene in Karate Kid when Daniel goes to the country club to pick up Allie, and he comes in and sees Allie dancing with Johnny, and Johnny sees that he's there. So he like starts kissing her, and then Daniel gets the spaghetti thrown all over him and runs away. And then what he doesn't see is Allie punches Johnny in the face. But here, Robbie totally sees that she's not into Quan. So then when Quan says, don't worry, I'll keep her warm later, he should know that Quan's full of shit, and because especially because Tori said she wanted a break. I mean, she's not looking to be with anybody else. So I think it's a little silly if they're suggesting that Robbie actually thought anything was going on between Quan and Tori. But then Zara clearly sees, oh, there's discord here, and so she takes advantage of him being drunk and upset and all that. But I just don't. I think I'm disappointed in Dimitri, and I'm also disappointed in Robbie.
Yeah, Robbie now. Yeah, now he's got something extra to think about, huh? He's already screwed up about Tori. Oh, no. And then in the hallway, Robbie's like, I barely remember last night. And Zara's like, well, it's a good thing I do. And I'm like, no, I don't think that's good.
No.
He's not for Robbie.
Of course, the elevator opens right just in time for Tori to see.
I mean, it's not okay. Not okay if that's what happened with Robbie and Zara. And she's just pulling the same, kind of stunt like Cobra Kai is trying to get under Tori's skin. I think she's intimidated. She's trying not to be, but I think she's intimidated by her. And Zara's got this pathological need to be like the most popular girl.
Yep.
And the prettiest in the room.
The most attention.
Yeah.
Because when the Iron Dragon guy calls her Tori the Tooth Fairy because she knocked this girl's tooth out, she's a badass. She's a smoke show too. And you can tell that Zara's not happy about that.
Oh, isn't that, and that's what Tori said at the bar when they had their little confrontation, huh? Yeah, that was cool.
you should take some photos so you're, oh, Zara says you should take some photos so you can remember your one trip to the big time. Maybe I'll take a photo of you on the mat at the finals, knocked out next to all your teeth. So she's really taking advantage of that tooth fairy.
Somebody get Zara some ice.
I did. I did like that line from Tori. I'm really digging Tori this season so far. So I liked that, and I felt bad that she had to see that. And I do think it was kind of twisted that, you know, Robbie fell for what Quan was trying to pull. And yeah, he should have, you know, when she's, you know, flicking him away, like, you know, get off me, cut it out or whatever. But I just think they're just putting it on heavy that Robbie is in such a bad headspace over Tori. Like, we've seen him every freaking time he gets in, you know, on the mat, he's, you know, messing up because all I can think about is Tori. And, you know, so I guess they're just going that way with it, which is still very annoying. But I felt bad for him, though, if that's, like I said, I'm not okay with that whole thing with him and Zara and her taking advantage of him, you know, in that way. That's not cool.
Yeah.
Man, this is all messed up. How are they going to resolve all this stuff?
I would think if I was Tori, you know, and I was like, hey, we need to focus on the tournament. So we're on different teams. Let's just focus on our thing. And then we'll be together after that. And Robbie fucking fell to pieces over it. My respect level for him would go down. You know, I hate to say that because Robbie, you know, we love Robbie, but the way he's handling this, I'd be like, dude, I just wanted to focus on the thing and you're just going all to pieces. You keep getting hit because you're looking at me and now you slept with somebody else. What the hell?
Right. And he's not holding up to the fact that why he says he's there. You know, this is just as important to me.
Yeah.
It's gonna change everything. And it's like, well, you're not trying your best here, dude.
Yeah. I would hope that, cause I'm just thinking about my teenage self, that I would let things with girlfriends get to me too, but I would hope even me in this situation, I'd just be like, okay, it's just a temporary thing. Let's focus on this tournament.
Yeah, there's some things that are bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely easier to say that as like my, you know, in my 40s, but right. I made a lot of dumb decisions and did dumb things when I was 16.
Good point.
17. Yep. I don't need to repeat any of that here. that can stay back there in the past. So I have to keep reminding myself that, these they're just teenagers. It's easy to sit here as like an adult.
Yeah. I remember, so I was all just this, my first love, Jill, and we were at this, we were in Arizona for, what was it, Fiesta Bowl or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're marching in a parade at a college football game, and I was all broken up over her. I think she dumped me or something, and I was just so torn up about it, and our band director came over, and he's like, hey, man. How you doing? And I'm like, I'm okay. And he's all, you going to be able to perform? like, yes.
Get your head in the game.
Exactly. Yep.
But that wasn't just a temporary thing for Fiesta Bowl. It was permanent. So that's my excuse. Anyway. All right. I had one more, Johnny and Miguel. This was actually my least favorite. Because I felt like having this rich douchebag, it just felt like the writers were throwing in something to fill the space. I mean, it was sort of interesting because when Johnny was a kid, he was the upper class douchebag. And now he's being treated poorly by somebody else in first class, you know, the way he kind of used to do to people maybe. But I've been annoyed at Miguel for being so dickish to Johnny and also for being dickish to Robbie. And the one thing I did like is because Miguel's been whining that I should be captain because I need it to go to college and it doesn't help Robbie that way. But I liked when Johnny kind of boiled it down for him. Hey, he doesn't have what you have. He's not going to college next year. Sakai Taikai is the biggest thing he's got going for him. I'm like, yeah, that's, you just kind of spelled it out there. Like, Miguel, get over yourself. And then, then he, like, Johnny has one of his like recent wise moments where he's like, I could see how it made you feel that I was ignoring you. You are my son too, which was very sweet. And then he goes, I've tried my best to get myself together again, to be a good guy, you know, and then things like this happen and it feels like I could lose everything all over again. So, so that was a good moment. I mean, we're having a lot of sappy moments with Johnny. I don't know if it could get to be too much, but I don't know. I like this one.
Yeah, that's a good point. I thought it fit pretty well with his kind of reinvention of becoming more mature and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but then he goes and pulls that dumbass comment about the plane flying straight. I'm like, what?
That's so hilarious. I loved it.
Oh, Lordy.
Why are you going? What did he say?
I mean, he's still Johnny to the core. Okay. So, you know, he's.
He goes, excuse me, stewardess. Why is the plane doing this bendy thing? You mean following the curvature of the earth?
I wrote down, I was like, so that's how flat earthers are born.
Yeah,
that didn't quite fit in with all his you know, strides and maturity that he's been making. But
well,
I guess
he's intelligence mature and, doesn't mean smart. Yeah,
yeah, I guess intelligence. There's different kinds of intelligences, aren't there?
Yeah, his emotional intelligence has grown. Maybe not his other type of intelligence.
I gotta admit, when I first saw that curved flight, that was my reaction too. Why are they going way up out of the way?
Why don't we just go straight there?
Yeah, God, it's annoying.
Just a straight path, point A to point B.
And I like, even just the little thing, because I'm thinking he calls the flight attendant over, but he's like, excuse me, stewardess. He has to use the outdated term. Then they go to the hospital and they run into the room, see this bloody bed. And I'm like, I fell for it for a second. I'm like, oh shit, would they get that dark? We were talking about it on the podcast, but of course it turns out she's fine. And it says they had to do an emergency cerclage. Do you guys know what that is?
I do.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure, isn't it, where they... I'm sorry, Rich, would you just like to say it since you know?
No, go ahead. I just say I do because I teach sex ed, so...
I didn't know what it was.
I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure it's where they have to kind of stitch the cervix a little bit to help hold, because, like, she's basically going into preterm, and so they kind of stitch you a little bit to hold things together to keep you from going into labor, and that's why she's on
early,
bed rest.
Yeah.
It's premature birth,
Premature birth or miscarriage. So then Carmen's telling Johnny, I'm okay, go back to Spain. There's this musical cue right there, by the way, right out of Karate Kid. I don't remember the scene, but it's this kind of pleasant, I can't even sing it, but anyway, it just reminded me of the movie. But then they go back to Spain. I feel like a bit of a yo-yo with Johnny and Miguel flying home and then immediately back to Spain. I guess the point of this was just to get Kenny increase the story, make new story. I don't know.
Yeah, that was kind of my conclusion. Because are they even going to miss any fighting? They didn't even have any fighting this episode.
Yeah.
It takes minimum, if you're on a faster flight, 12 hours from LA to Spain, to Barcelona. I looked it up and I'm like, that's a lot of bouncing. And that's assuming, again, a fast flight. I think I've seen it go up to 14. So it's like, oh, they're just, you know, they're rushing home and now they're going to jump on another, you know, international flight. Sure. Yeah. Let's just, that's so easy. And fly another 12 to 14 hours and get Kenny also. And it just, it's like they're playing a little fast and loose with travel. You're just right. A little bit.
That's a good point. And that's assuming you can get a flight the same day that you call for a flight too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They might just take a little poetic license and play a little loose with the timing of things, you know?
Yeah. Most shows do, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I didn't love, like, the scenario, like, with the rich guy on the plane and all of that, but I love Johnny and Miguel. Like, they're my favorites on the show, you know, since, like, day one, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the beginning, and they're the core for me, you know, sensei and student.
Mm-hmm. And now father and son.
Yeah. And I, you know, I love that. I thought that you know, that both actors did an amazing job with the emotional scenes. I think they've both really grown, you know, as actors over the years. You know, if you go back to season one, they may not be quite as polished or, you know, maybe a little rough around the edges, but I think they've really, you know, grown a lot. And I loved the emotional scenes and seeing how much, you know, they do mean to each other. And like, you know, this relationship that they have, that's kind of like a father-son, sensei-student relationship. Of course, they're going to have like some conflict. It's not always going to be perfect between them. So I didn't love the circumstances, but I just love seeing them two together and seeing that emotional moments between the two. And I think it really does add to Johnny and his growth over the years and him being more sensitive. I think it makes more sense, mm-hmm. you know, seeing him, because he's been pretty emotionally stunted, you know, yeah. for a lot of the, for many seasons of the show. So seeing him mm-hmm. being able to like be so emotionally vulnerable here, I love it. I think it makes total sense.
Yeah. Well, I loved That's it. Cool. I thought it was cool. I like reading those stories about people freaking out on airplanes and then getting justice served.
His line when she's like, "Sir, are you going to be a problem?" And he's like, "Honestly, probably.
Probably a little. Yeah, I was like, oh man, we're just going to start right there, huh?"
Yeah, that's a good point, Rima, and you're making me like it more. And I like it that Johnny, his growth comes from being a mentor, because the biggest theme of Karate Kid is about the importance of good role models, parental figures, mentors, and he didn't have that. He had Kreese and he had his stupid stepfather.
Stepdad.
And
yeah.
that, and his life didn't go that well because of it. But now being, and he wasn't a good father to Robbie before, but now that he's stepped up into that role, it's actually helping him become a better person. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Got a family to take care of.
Yep.
You know, another thing they took poetic license with was how the, you know, at the hospital, you caught the cops delivering Miguel and Johnny. They got out of the cop car, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, that kind of clears up how they would get off the plane so quickly, right? Because, I mean, yeah. there was a physical altercation, but it's...
Yeah.
Miguel the was poetic license is it's not going to clear up the personal assault and body harm, bodily harm charges that Miguel's going to face when he gets back from the tournament. You know, that guy's going to file some charges on him.
If it was real life, yeah. I feel like that's the end of it on the show, yeah. though.
That'd be funny. Yeah. He wins the tournament and gets back home and gets sued.
And he can't go to college.
Yeah. Dude was a jerk. I'm like, why isn't the flight attendant like saying like, upset sir, please him. Sit yeah. down.
She's and... upset at yeah. Johnny.
Like he's holding up the money. The whole line. I hate when people do that. I hate when they're, it's like,
hey, yeah.
there's like 40 people behind us trying to get on the plane. Will you please stop rummaging in your overhead compartment and let us through?
I was just on a plane. We got home. And it was late and I wanted to get the kids home and in bed because they had school the next day. And I'm sitting on the plane and in like row 30 and the guy in row like 28, you know, everybody in front of him got off and he was standing there pulling thing number one, thing number two, strapping it around thing. And everybody in front of him was off. And I was this close to being like, excuse me, sir, can you hurry the fuck up? But he finally got his act together. I was so mad.
Yeah, it's incredible how unaware some can be about about their surroundings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true.
I was on a flight once where the guy sitting next to me kept getting up like every 30 seconds, it seemed it wasn't, but every, you know, every few minutes he would get up to get something from the overhead. I'm like, God, what does this guy keep needing to get? Just freaking get your shit and sit down. Jeez.
Ugh, it's annoying.
All right, do we have any other points or are we ready for notes?
Yeah, let's do notes.
You got any notes, Rima?
Actually, I think I've already talked through all of them. So, nope, I'm out.
Rich?
I like Johnny in a sombrero. That was hilarious. Had his sombrero on. He's like trying to hide from the stewardess.
A little emotional support dog.
Yeah. And, you know, that scene too, back on the plane, Miguel crying. I thought that was a good scene. I thought he brought it home with that crying.
Yes.
Yeah. Did an amazing job.
I can't understand.
I mean, that's like
that's a talent.
I just, Miguel, when he's being mean and rude. I don't like it. So when he did sort of soften and they were back on the same page, that was a big relief to me.
Yeah. Let's see. So Miguel and Kenny are both going back to Barcelona. Are they going to be on the same flight? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud there. But
there can't be that many. Like you said, how many same day international flights back? Yeah, right. So the chances are they'll be on the same one.
I keep my thoughts are continuously focused on who's Kenny going to replace. That's all I'm thinking about right now. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I can't get over that. But hopefully we'll find out in just a few minutes when we're done, right?
Yeah, hope so.
All right. The only note I had is I just thought it was funny when Chosen was at the club trying to get in, need to go inside looking for teenagers. And the bouncer said, I heard that one before, get lost. That's so funny.
That was funny.
All right. Just one thing in the news, because we never look at the news. We don't want to be spoiled, but this somehow broke through that Cobra Kai season 6 part 3 is going to be released on February 13th, 2025.
February. Oh.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Right.
Yep.
Well, a day early, but yeah.
Totally. We can Netflix and chill. Cobra Kai.
Cuddle up with your sweetie and watch the third part 3 of
hopefully Final watch Cobra Kai. All these relationships get repaired.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, that's going to be a whole new thing back in the valley.
Yep. All right, let's get into some feedback. Rima, I'll go first.
Sure. Is it Josie Bowen Eckley?
I think. I don't know.
Ekdal, I apologize in advance if I butchered your name. Says, hi, guys. I've been a listener of the Walking Dead cast for the last year or so, but hadn't explored any of the other shows so far. I just binged the latest episodes of Cobra Kai and listened to the latest coverage. I can't wait for you to watch the finale. Just wanted to hop on here and say I'm so glad to have this podcast space, and I'll finally start exploring other shows. Thanks for all you do, Jason and team.
Oh, nice.
That's nice.
Yeah. You should watch Yellow Jackets, Josie, if you haven't tried that one. That's coming up in February. And we covered the first two seasons. That's one that pops into my mind if you're exploring other podcastica shows, or a little show called Stranger Things, if you haven't heard of that one.
Hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of good content out there on podcastica.
Tons. All right. We'll do a call. Here's Steve Brown.
Hello, Cobra Kai cast. This is Steve, and this is going to be for Snakes on a Plane, really? Oh, you guys were totally right. We start with Amanda, or Johnny telling Amanda to go find Kenny and send him to Barcelona. Look, it's a sober Chosen. Oh, I just saw Thomas Ian Griffith's name in the credits. Means we're going to get some
Solar. Totally didn't even
Chosen
see that.
Chosen already sent the kids out of the town. And Kreese has got the Cobra Kai soldiers looking for him. This is going to be some karate street brawl, maybe. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Kenny thinks that, what's his name? Anthony LaRusso, the son, did the thing with the water. Yeah. Oh, and of course, Miguel and Johnny have taken two steps back in their relationship. So it's going to have to be refocused. Argument where he brings up that when Johnny told him that he was drinking in the parking lot when Robbie was born. Come on. Oh, so the Cobra Kai female sensei really isn't like Kreese. She really wants this to be all about the tournament. Ooh, Mrs. LaRusso getting serious with Anthony, making him apologize for something he didn't do. Where did Miguel get this seat in first class? Did I miss something? Whoa, she just took that guy down. the female sensei from Cobra Kai. Oh, and now she and Chosen are going to be together to go look for the kids. Oh, he is. Hawk just called his girlfriend, and she's going to see Dimitri dancing with that other girl. Uh-oh. These two just can't catch a break in their friendship, can they? Hawk and Dimitri. Oh, and Robbie's drinking, and this Cobra Kai kid is getting in his head. Oh, and there was Zara sliding up to him. Wow. Johnny, getting real with Miguel. I'm getting choked up watching him. Wow, William Zabka really can kill it. Oh, Miguel hit the guy. Way to go, Miguel. And Johnny held back. He just was, he just dodged the blow. Oh, now Cobra Kai guys are they drunk? And they're accosting Sam and this guy from Iron Dragons? Oh, and we are going to get to see a little street brawls. It's not, that was over as quickly as it started because the cops are coming. At least Sam stayed true to her boyfriend. But of course, now Axel's going to go back after curfew and who knows what's going to happen to him. Chosen and the,
good point.
I don't even know what this girl's name is, the sensei, the female sensei from Cobra Kai. Crazy. Oh, and Robbie coming out of Zara's room. And Tori just saw them. That's nice. The police gave, oh, blood on the bed. I was going to say the police gave Robbie and Miguel a ride to the hospital, but uh-oh. Cool, okay, Carmen's okay. The baby's okay. Wow, I'm choked up again. Oh, Carmen with the Rocky II moment win on your bed. Now, what about Kenny? Surprises. They had Thomas Ian Griffith's name in the credits. We knew he was coming. We knew he was going to be behind all of this. Come on. Now I got to wait a week.
We didn't know because we're not smart like you, Steve.
Yeah.
I very rarely pay. It's about half and half, but I definitely did not pay any attention to the credits at all. So it was a surprise for me. I did not.
And I watched it twice. So I'm double dumbass.
It is a bummer when they, yeah, even watching it twice, I still didn't see it or pay attention. But it's a bummer when they do that, you know? Because yeah. I mean, I wish, I know that they have to credit and yeah, they should be credited.
There should
but
be some rule
damn.
Where you can keep surprises if
yeah.
you need to. Yeah.
Save it for the end. Like, guest appearance by and name them because
I'd like to think we just trained ourselves not to notice that kind of stuff.
Yeah, on purpose, by choice.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
No spoilers whatsoever.
We meant to.
Okay, Rich.
Erwin writes, hi there, Rima, Richard, and Jason. Here's a voice message on Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 8. My first message for this podcast, because when I saw the very first episode, Season 1, Episode 1, you guys had already covered the complete fifth season. But better late than never. These past months, this Cobra Kai show was my thing to look forward to in the weekends. Every time, a few episodes at once. Man, how I love this show. I'm a bit sad it's already the last season and the end is near. But hey, I don't want to be a pussy about that. I really love your podcast, too. Your voices are my loyal companions when I'm driving off to work in the mornings, making me relive the episodes again and arriving at work with a happy smile on my face. Keep on making those great podcasts. Greets from the Netherlands.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Erwin.
And here's his message.
Hi, Jason, Rima, and Richard. This is Erwin Colson-Timista calling in from the Netherlands for Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 8. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And thanks to the extra time, I've finally been able to catch up with you guys because I've discovered the Cobra Kai series and this podcast only earlier this year. So the past few months, I've been watching and listening a lot, and I'm finally not lagging behind anymore. So I can finally send you a voice message. Yeah. I also actually saw the Karate Kid movies only at the end of the 80s, so also there I was lagging behind, so I'm a bit used to it. And I heard you talking a lot about which of the movies was your favorite. Well, for me it was Karate Kid 2, because of Kumiko, definitely because of her. So I kind of feel connected with Chosen right now. Guys, I love this show so much, and I really feel connected to it, because back in the 80s and 90s, I also did a lot of karate, and actually I did a lot of tournaments as well. Mm-hmm. At the end of the 90s, I quit karate, but a while ago I picked it up again, and this time another karate style. This time actually the style the karate in the Karate Kid movies have taken their inspiration from. But let me dive into episode 8, Snakes on a Plane. To me, this episode was one of really great fun and... well, laughter, really. I had to laugh so much several times. But it also ended with kind of a disappointment. But let's start with the fun part. Chosen. Man, that guy is rocking it this episode. The look on his face when Daniel tells him the kids have to stay in. But then we see Chosen's flashback where he tells the kids they only can go out if they are really going to party. Man, that face. Wow, that guy is born for comedy. And then when he and Kim Da-hoon are bickering while they're looking for the students, they really don't like each other. And then they even try to punch each other's lights out. But then all of a sudden, they are kissing passionately. Man, that was so unexpected, but I laughed out so loud. What happens in Barcelona stays in Barcelona. That was a great callback. And wow, the Mona Lisa smile on Kim Da-hoon's face when there was still sand falling from her hair. And when Chosen says, two, if we count morning. I rewinded that scene several times. It was so great. I heard you talking several times about spin-offs they're going to do. Do you think they might do a comedy spin-off about those two? Well, that would be on my wish list. Mm. But unfortunately, there are also some sad things going on. For instance, when we see the kids in the Spanish bar, there's some upbeat music in the background, but you just see they're not in a party mood, and that has a good reason. They're down because of Johnny and Miguel's departure back home and the reason why they had to part. But thank God Carmen is fine, and I'm really happy she sends Miggy and Johnny right back to Barcelona, because I really got a bit worried how the rest were going to do at the Saikai Taikai without Miguel, who, as far as I'm concerned, should have been the team captain. I love the way how Johnny showed his vulnerability to Miguel on the plane and how Miguel stood up for him when he hit that annoying guy in first class. Johnny and Miguel are indeed like father and son, and they are enriching each other's lives so much. Let me see, what else have I got? Oh yeah, I like the thing between Eli and Dimitri in that bar where Eli turns down a dance from that hot babe, but Dimitri is completely controlled by his hormones despite the words he said previously. It only sucks for him that his girlfriend breaks up with him for just dancing. I would say the guy is not really doing anything wrong, or is he? I mean, it's allowed to look at the menu as long as you go home to eat. And then alongside the tournament, there's a lot of other things going on. Sam meets Axel from the Iron Dragons on the beach, and together they kick some Cobra Kai ass. And back home, there finally seems to be some resolution between Kenny and Anthony, but this time for Anthony, the shit hits the fan. I'm a bit disappointed, though, that Amanda doesn't believe her own son when he denies it was him who drugged Kenny. Because I think that normally Amanda's character would have listened to her son, especially because he says it so convincingly and honestly and emotionally loaded. But anyways, good for Anthony that he finally fights back when Kenny punches him in the face. And I liked Amanda's little speech, though, when she intervenes in that fight. Well, then the end of the episode, that's where the disappointment is for me, because Silver returns. I mean, I really liked last season with him being the big bad guy. And don't get me wrong, I think Thomas Ian Griffith is a great actor and I really like to see him. But for me, that chapter is finished now. Been there, done that. Let's move on now. But it seems like we're going back. And I wonder if the writers couldn't think of anything better, a bigger bully antagonist. To me, this really is kind of an anti-cliffhanger. But luckily, most of the other things in this episode make it still one of the better ones to my taste. And, well, judging by the previous episodes and seasons and knowing the writers, I'm sure they have some great fireworks coming up for us. Well, guys, that's it for now. Keep on making those great podcasts. Can't wait to hear the next ones. I'm off now. I'm going to watch the next episode. Cheers.
Awesome.
Cheers.
That was so cool.
Yeah. I like that he said when the shit hits the fan. Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, I heard you saying about Terry Silver, but I had similar thoughts, but he's just such a great villain and it's the last season and I have faith that the writers will do something great with him. And I think there's still more that could be done there that would be narratively satisfying. It's not like they've exhausted the possibilities with him, in my opinion. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it was great that you wrote in, that you called in. And I just visited the Netherlands for the first time about a year and a half ago, and I freaking loved it. It was so cool. All the waterways and bike paths and beautiful spare architecture and art and everything. It's really awesome.
Yeah. Did you go in the summer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome.
It was really fun.
Super cool to hear someone all the way from the Netherlands. So that was really cool.
All right. We got one more call from our loyal caller and friend, Mike Caruso.
Hey, Jason, Rima, and Richard. Mikey C from Cincinnati calling in again, leaving my feedback, this time for Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 8, Snakes on a Plane. Okay, so before I get into the episode, I just wanted to say that I am still with you guys. It's been 2 weeks since I last watched an episode of Cobra Kai and recorded immediately following it. It's now December 3rd as I record this right now, so I am watching right along with you guys. And of course, I really like Cobra Kai. I enjoyed this episode. Surprise, surprise. I didn't quite enjoy it as much as I enjoyed the previous episode, but I like this one a lot. Felt like there were a lot of storylines going on, which I enjoy. You've, of course, got the Johnny and Miguel and Carmen storyline going, which is kind of like the one that you really wanted to, at least I really wanted to, you know, get some closure to. And thankfully we did in this episode. You know, everything's okay. We can, you know, sideline Miguel and Johnny for the time being in the tournament. We can get Kenny in there to, you know, play out that storyline there. It's good. Like I'm glad that they didn't leave us in limbo too long on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And also some of William Zabka's acting around some of the really emotional bits, I was really impressed with. You know, it's like, I feel like it's hard to be a kind of like a hard ass manly man and cry, you know, or like be emotionally sad. And I thought Zabka did an awesome job. Choto Maradueña always does an awesome job. That kid is a phenomenal actor. He really showed that emotion. There was a lot of good scenes between the two of them. Then you've got the Daniel and Chosen storyline that pretty much became the Chosen and Kim storyline, also involved Kreese there. And that was probably my favorite part of the episode. I really enjoy Chosen when he's being useful and funny and not drunk and funny. I thought he was really great here, and I saw the little romance there coming like a scene or two ahead. I was like, wait a minute, is this going where I think it's going? And it did, and I thought it was absolutely hilarious and so perfect. And I actually really like to see Kim let her hair down and her features overall kind of softened. And she's actually a pretty looking lady. Like I have to say, when she's not making stink face all the time, she's a pretty good looking gal. So good on her. And of course that ended with Terry Silver showing up at the end of the episode. And I did not see that coming. I don't know if any of you guys did, but
Steve Brown did.
I went, whoa, no way, when I saw him on screen. Not even when I saw him on screen, when I heard him say Danny Boy. Then you've got all the various issues going on with the kids. And I think this was probably my least favorite aspect of the episode. It was, you know, it's a lot of kids drama. And you can kind of see, you know, as soon as Eli called his girlfriend, I was, okay, I know this is not going to be good. Like, I can just tell. And it only further to divide the two of them. Also, you know, Tori and Robbie and the chick stepping in and maybe hooking up with Robbie, at least having him sleep in her bed. I mean, whether they hooked up or not, and giving the impression that more happened. That was kind of sneaky and dramatic. We'll see where that goes. But I almost felt like there was a moment here where Cobra Kai had like a Walking Dead moment, where we like to joke that Walking Dead always felt like they had to have a zombie set piece in like every episode, and it almost felt like here with the kids, they felt like this episode's lacking some action. Can we have the kids have like a quick 1 minute skirmish here to just add a little action?
Absolutely,
the episode. I think outside of that, it was just Chosen and Kim taking the two drunkards down in the alley, and outside of that, there was
fighting
a
each other
lot of fighting in this episode. So I was kind of chuckling to myself as I was watching that. I was like, oh, okay, we're having a little Walking Dead moment here. But yeah, obviously the big reveal here for this episode was Terry Silver coming back. I don't know how I avoided that. I haven't really been looking up the show, but I haven't watched it for 2 weeks, and somehow I still hadn't seen that Terry Silver was coming back. So I was pretty thrilled to see him. It makes me wonder who else they're going to surprise us with. Are we going to get Judy Pierce finally, maybe in part two, Julie, or part three here? Are we going to get a CGI Pat Morita? Obviously, I'm joking there, but when are we going to get You're the Best? That's what I'm really waiting for.
Final
that
episode,
will be the
maybe?
Big reveal. That's obviously, I think at this point, obviously going to be part three.
We better.
Is it going to be the finale? Kind of feels like it at this point. Mm-hmm. But all right, I'll quit ranting and raving like a lunatic here, and I'm excited to hear what the pros at Podcastica have to say about this episode. Always look forward to your guys' thoughts and your deep dives and just your unique perspectives. I love it, guys. Thank you, and I'll talk to you next week.
I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking planet.
Thanks, Samuel L. Stay badass, Danielson.
Nice.
That was great.
Good one, Mike. All right, that is it. That's our show. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Next episode, recording in a week, is Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 9, Blood In, Blood Out.
Ooh, sounds serious.
Yeah.
If you want to write in or send us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, please check out our other podcasts.
Yeah, brand new one coming out. We just decided this Skeleton Crew Star Wars show starring Jude Law has two episodes out and one coming, and Pink and Daphne both decided that they liked it, so I asked them if they would stop Run for Your Lives and take a break and do this show, and they said yeah, so they're gonna be out in a week covering that Skeleton Crew on Star Wars TV Cast.
Cool.
So that'll be cool. Excellent. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm curious to see how it is.
Yeah, Jude Law's a great actor too.
Yeah, I like him.
I just saw him on a talk show. He's like, I don't know if it's true, but they said he was the only actor that's been in the Star Wars universe, the Marvel universe, and the Harry Potter universe.
Ooh, the trifecta.
Interesting.
Yeah, lots of franchises. Money, too.
All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Shit butt.
Hashtag shit butt.
Hashtag.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.